Come on now, bro.
Let's get back to the latest headlines for the sports world.
Trending now.
Trending now.
Here's what's trending.
Fly ball, deep right field. He ambushed him. There goes the shutout. 20 home runs for Freddie Freeman before the All-Star break. It's 10-1.
Ha ha! Suck it, DeGrom. They got to him in the ninth inning. It took till the ninth inning for them to get there, but they got
Pretty
him.
Michael. But they got him.
They got him.
Uh-huh.
And then Donaldson had another one right afterwards. They went back to back on him in the ninth inning.
Right, man.
They had to pull him out of the game.
Yeah,
they,
so because of that. And then as fans, as Braves fans, did we put on our rally caps? Did we start chanting and everything?
I was already asleep.
Yeah. I'm going to bed.
I fell asleep in like the seventh inning last night. Like, I got to be honest with you about that one.
I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, man. I went to bed on that one last night after Julio Teheran came out in the fourth inning and had given up 6 earned runs already. Didn't seem like it was going to be the Braves' night. And it wasn't, and that's okay. You're bound to have one had last night. And at least it came against Jacob DeGrom. It would be frustrating if you're going up against some no-name pitcher and he did what DeGrom did to the Braves' offense last night. I don't think there's very many pitchers that could do to the Braves' offense what DeGrom did last night, which kind of makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. We know what this dude is.
He's great.
Man. He's great. He is. And every time, every year, it's going to be a pitcher like that that shuts blank down. I'm shutting this down, right? You know what I'm saying? Because they're those type of guys, the Kershaws and the Verlanders, DeGroms, and guys like that. Now what the Braves have to do is bounce back, you know, and then quote-unquote, air quotes, we got our ace up tonight. What does Mike Soroka do today? Is he going to be the guy that, you know what, here, Mike, we need it back.
Yeah.
All right, we need it back. This is a rubber match. We need this one back. Mm-hmm. All right, is he going to go out there and have one of his better days, or is he going to be like, not on the Max Free trajectory, because I think Max Free is still going to be okay, but can he find a way to keep it together and keep going?
Need pitchers who can come in and do basically what DeGrom did last night. Again, I know it's not going to be exactly what DeGrom did last night, but it's Fried on the mound tonight. It's Fried versus Steven Nass tonight.
It's Fried tonight. Okay.
It would be nice to see Fried have a nice start.
Because
it's been a minute. The last couple times out, he's been a little bit rocky, and he had been off to such a great start early in the season. So would love to see him have one of those nights tonight. When you look around the National League, though, because I think we've gotten to the point where we can comfortably talk about the Braves possibly going to the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, the conversation earlier in the week was, are the Braves now the prohibitive favorite in the NL East? And I feel comfortable saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They proved it over the weekend against
the
Phillies.
Unless they face DeGrom.
But there aren't, like you said, there aren't a lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
Even with the teams that are in the playoff hunt. Brewers don't have a guy like that.
Okay, no.
Cubs don't have a guy like that.
No.
The Dodgers.
The Cubs have a guy like that who's not pitching that way?
Okay.
Okay.
I can go that far.
Okay.
And the Dodgers, the Dodgers kind of have guys like that.
Yeah.
Ryu's kind of like that right now.
A couple of them.
Kershaw's kind of like that. Yeah, Buehler's pretty good.
Yeah.
But aside from the Dodgers, though, we were talking about this before the show. There aren't really any locked down aces of staffs that are in the playoff hunt, which maybe leaves a spot open for the Braves to get a guy like that. Maybe Soroka elevates his game to that level before the playoffs come around. Who knows? Maybe Dallas Keuchel comes in and has a return to form like he did back in 15 and 16. Somewhere near back in 15 and 16. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's a long damn time ago.
That's a
Andy.
Long time ago. I know. I know.
It's a long damn time.
Maybe they go out and get Madison Bumgarner, and Madison Bumgarner could come in and
fortify
their staff. Well, maybe he wants to come here now. Have they asked him lately?
I don't know.
Anybody asked him lately?
I know. Like, the last I heard, he don't want to come.
But that was before they got Keuchel.
Yeah.
Maybe they forgot to ask him again.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you got to ask people multiple times before they agree to do something. You ever ask your kids to clean up their room?
All the time.
Yeah, and you probably got to ask them like 5 times.
Yeah.
They got to use the same approach with Madison Bumgarner.
All right.
He's a child with a dirty room.
Dude, I don't think he wants to leave San Fran.
I wouldn't.
I know. Really?
He's a legend there.
He's a
forever.
Legend.
He's but, I mean, multiple World Series rings.
From everything that I've been heard, reading everything from some of the national pundits, everything, a lot of people think that the Braves are in line to get a reliever and another starter. Now, who is that reliever? Or
Will
whatever?
Smith.
Is it Will Smith? Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I'll take it. Whatever. But you're talking about another starting pitcher also. And we talked about it earlier on with our 10-year when we were auditioning for this job about Stroman.
When we were dating.
Yeah, when we were dating.
Yeah.
About Stroman. Mm-hmm. And we know that Anthopoulos, he has ties to that organization. What do you have to give up for him? And so, I mean, it's still going to be moves made. I'm still excited about this team. But, yeah, they're running. I said it yesterday. this is theirs to lose. And what I mean by that is the Braves, only way the Braves will not win the NL East is if they blow it. That's what I honestly think, if they blow it.
They got a chance to bounce back tonight, win this game, go 8-2 on the homestand before heading out to the road. It's going to be a difficult road trip, man. 10 games in 10 days. They're going to Chicago to play the Cubs. That's going to be another litmus test. But Fried can go out tonight, hopefully, and have a good start and give the Braves a chance to really have a successful homestand at 8-2. One other piece of Braves news. This was just tweeted out by the Braves about a little less than an hour ago. Sean Newcomb has been placed on the 7-day concussion injured list, backdated to June 18th. So he's eligible. What's June 18th was yesterday.
Right.
So 7 days from yesterday, 6 days from today, Sean Newcomb is eligible to come off of that shortened IL.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he did have a concussion. Mm-hmm. I would assume that would be you can make that connection.
It's hard for me to not think that he didn't have one.
I mean, the ball bounced off his head and went into the stands.
Yes.
That's a long way to bounce off of a skull.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully he's able to come back soon and get back out there as a starter or back into the bullpen where he had been really useful
right.
since coming back from Gwinnett. But not great news to hear that Sean Newcomb is going to be on the 7-day concussion injured list. Only 6 days left, though, so we'll get him back sooner rather than later.
To have him come back, play the way he did, obviously his goals stand out, but I thought just his overall play, he was a handful for Columbus to deal with. And when you get an opportunity like he did to step up in the way he did, you know, we were all super excited for him.
That's Brad Guzan from the morning show talking about Brandon Vasquez and how well he's been playing. Yeah, that goal that he scored yesterday was nasty.
He's been balling, man.
I didn't know Brandon Vasquez could do that.
I didn't either. I'm like, oh, that's nasty. That's what you call him B. Nasty B.
You know who's been a long supporter and believer in Brandon Vasquez? Jason Longshore.
Okay.
And Jason Longshore is going to be in studio
right
with us 15 minutes.
He just walked in the studio.
Brandon Vasquez is one of the few guys that I've kind of gone back and forth with Longshore about, that I just don't see it, and he does. Well, not surprisingly, it looks like Jason was right and I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
as the way that
that's
he's
his
played.
Dude. Just like what's your guy?
Pereira.
Pereira.
Pereira was my guy. He's still my guy.
Yeah.
He's still my guy.
Yeah.
But no, Brandon Vasquez has been playing really well in the U.S. Open Cup. Joseph hasn't been available on international duty, and Vasquez has gotten a chance to step in and has been playing really well. Atlanta United won yesterday against Columbus 3-2, so they advanced to the round of eight, the Elite Eight. We could just call it that, the Elite Eight in the U.S. Open Cup.
Or we can call it the round of eight.
The Great Eight.
The Great Eight. But when the hell did Barco get back?
Yesterday.
He had to get back yesterday. he had to fly from wherever he was up to Columbus. And you know what? You know what, Andy?
What?
It was raining yesterday.
So?
Atlanta United won.
Yeah.
But, you know, they couldn't win last time up there because of the damn rain.
No, Randy, what you've got to understand is.
Okay, tell me.
The rain yesterday wasn't the same as the rain before.
Oh, okay.
The rain affected them a lot more than before because they learned how to do it because they played in the rain last time in Columbus and played bad and lost.
Right.
But then yesterday they had learned from that, so it was different.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
It's amazing how we talk about things differently when you win or when you lose.
Exactly.
But it's a big deal when you lose, the rain. Not a big deal when you win yesterday. And it looked awful.
It did.
I didn't see a single second of the game because I don't have ESPN Plus.
Uh-huh.
But read a lot of articles about it today and watched the highlights of it as well. That rain was nasty yesterday. It was raining hard.
It was raining hard up in Washington. It was raining hard in Columbus.
It's been raining a lot.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
It rained a lot the other time when they weren't able to play against
Charleston, but it's okay. We do not apologize for winning. Great for them going on to the eight.
The Great Eight.
The Great Eight. Okay, the Great Eight right there.
The Elite Eight.
Stop it. All right, mess it up. What are we gonna call it?
We call it whatever you want.
What do they call it?
We'll ask Jason Longshore.
Okay.
if there's a name for this round of the U.S. Open Cup.
We'll ask Jason.
I know that it's the Lamar Hunt Trophy is the U.S. Open Cup. Actual, like the Larry O'Brien in the NBA, the Lombardi in the NFL, the Lamar Hunt Trophy is the U.S. Open Cup trophy.
You're talking about, okay, cool.
Yeah. I think it's the same guy.
I'm so curious.
I think it is.
Is that the Chiefs owner?
I think so.
Oh.
I think it is. We'll ask Jason Longshore to clarify all this stuff coming up because he knows all of it, and he's going to be in studio with us in 20 minutes, 15 minutes, actually. He's also going to sit in on the AMA at 140, and if you want to get your AMA questions in early, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929, or on Twitter, at TBM929. Ask your questions early. That way we can guarantee that we get to them when we get to the AMA at 140.
The more you have of those players that need the ball in their hands because they're capable of making plays with the basketball, the better. Doesn't mean that they aren't effective when they don't have the basketball in their hands. When you add two defenders on Trey and you get off the basketball quick, well, there's a secondary facilitator on the backside attacking 4-on-3. We want that guy on the backside as well.
We need playmakers, Randy.
That's exactly
what this team needs.
Don't go back. Don't go LA Magic.
Not like the Lakers playmakers. Not Lance Stephenson.
Not Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo. Caldwell Pope.
Beasley, the lefty.
Beasley, yeah.
Now, not those playmakers. JaVale McGee. No. Like real playmakers. Guys from college that you might draft and bring in. But I like how Lloyd Pierce explained it because that is fitting with the philosophy of that's why they do that thing with the four-point line where Trey comes up and if he's in range, he's going to shoot it.
Right.
Because they want the defense to come out that far from the basket. So they could start to get mismatches in that middle area. Not all the way next to the hoop. They do pick and rolls to try to get guys easy layups and dunks close to the basket. But they want to come up with some mismatches, whether it's 4-on-3 or 3-on-2 on the perimeter. And if you have playmakers that can actually handle the ball and create their own shot, then you add a layer of offense to this team right now that you don't have. They were so good last year post All-Star break. Even without a legit secondary playmaker beyond Trae Young, if they can find that guy in this draft, whether it's Cam Reddish, whether it's DeAndre Hunter, whoever the guy is that they bring in, and it works, this offense could be ridiculous for the next few years with the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, and what did Cam Reddish tell us, Brian? He said his game is so smooth that it looks like he's not trying. That's what he said?
Yeah, because the knock on Cam Reddish is that he doesn't try hard. He doesn't have the motor.
Right. But he said it because his game's so smooth.
Yeah, I'm so smooth, it looks like I'm not trying.
Man, if a boy didn't deserve to get a smack in the back of the head for saying something that dumb. But no, we know.
You never seen anybody like that plays so smooth it looks like they're loafing?
Paul Pierce used to do that. Wasn't Paul Pierce game like that?
Yeah.
But Paul Pierce was trying, and he looked like he was trying.
He was just slow.
He was just slow. Yeah, Cam is not slow.
Slow and frumpy.
Yeah, but no, this squad, we've been saying it for a while, and we know that they need a playmaking wing player that can possibly be another ball handler and all that. There are some of these guys in there, and I mean, but again, everybody's still, this draft stinks. There's only three players in this draft.
Stop.
Let's wait and see.
60 guys are going to get drafted.
Yeah, let's just wait and see.
More than three of them are going to be good.
I mean, and I think so, too. But, I mean, let's wait and see, because – has Travis not given us a reason to believe in him drafting?
Right. What would be the reason to not believe in him?
Yeah.
He's done absolutely nothing to make you doubt his ability to draft and find talent beyond just the lottery, because John Collins and Kevin Herter were both picked at number 19, which everybody knows. We've said that 1,000 times. And yet, people still look at this like, well, they got to trade up. I don't know. I would be fine if they did.
I mean, you can't trade up if nobody wants to trade with
you. I wouldn't be surprised if they can't. Exactly. Not that they don't, but that they can't. It's not that easy to move into the top five in the NBA draft.
If you take the core group of players we have today, I think what generally the focus has been more of the same. More kids that could dribble, pass, and shoot. Getting good athletes and getting kids that are determined to get better.
See, Tony Ressler gets it. That's the owner of the Hawks. Dribble, pass, shoot, and want to try hard. That's what you're looking for. Good analysis.
Great. Analysis by our Hawks owner right there.
He's learning. But that's good because he said a couple years ago in an article after the Dwight Howard debacle that he didn't know a whole lot about team building and that he had been caught up a little bit in the star power and the hype and that kind of stuff.
Without a doubt.
And he was like, yeah, we got to get a superstar like Dwight. I'm like, well.
Dwight had been a superstar
Dwight
for a long time.
Was a superstar.
Yeah, he'd been a superstar for a while.
The NBA's changed a little bit, and Dwight's had multiple back surgeries. So that one didn't work out. But, you know, you learn, you live and learn, you get better, hopefully, and 1% better every single day. Iron sharpens iron, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? We don't have any more? Oh, all right. I was waiting for the next audio clip. Jason Longshore is going to join us in 10 minutes in the studio as we continue to talk about the NBA draft and look at what's going to happen tomorrow night. Chris Vivlamore joined us in the last hour. If you missed the interview, you can check it out on 929thegame.com. on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy page. Chris said, don't be surprised if the Hawks make all three of their first-round picks tomorrow. And he said the pick that he would think that they might move is they'd make the pick at 8, they'd make the pick at 10, and then maybe package 17 with the second-round pick and make a third pick either early in the second round or late in the first round. But don't be surprised at all if the Hawks make three first-round selections tomorrow night like they did last year.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Eric says, I know that I've played with effortless runners, for example. okay, that's such a cliche. It doesn't mean anything. They're trying. It's an effort
into
making those cuts.
But they look effortless.
But it looks effortless.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that about Cam. I don't know Cam Reddish. I'm just going by what people tell me about him.
Robinson Cano was the guy in baseball. Everyone said he was always – he wasn't loafing. He was just smooth.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, if that's what he thinks, fine.
That's how I like
I
to describe myself as a
radio
host.
I don't believe
host.
It, but hey.
I'm so smooth and effortless. It makes it seem like I'm not trying.
Like nice cognac.
And yet
– White Hennessy.
So hard. White – does that exist?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
Can that be my new nickname?
White Hennessy?
No? Okay. Jason Longshore is going to join us in studio next. Talk some Atlanta United. He's also going to hang out for the AMA. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the AMA to close things out. Jason Longshore with us in studio. And as we debuted last week, right? We hang out for the AMA at 1:40 as well. So we'll do that next.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
Get your questions in, all right? Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Any question, any topic, same thing over there on Twitter, at TBM929. You can follow Jason on Twitter, at Longshoe. They get it done last night, Jason. They win in Columbus. We're trying to figure it out. It's now the eight teams are left. Is it the Elite Eight? Is it the Great Eight?
We need something.
Something specific to the U.S. Open.
We're sitting up here trying to figure out a name for it. And the trophy, is it called the Hunt?
Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is the name of the tournament.
Is it the same Lamar Hunt that owns the Chiefs?
Yes.
Now, why is it named after him?
Because he is a legendary figure in American soccer. When he started the Chiefs, he also started the Dallas Tornado in the old North American Soccer League. Stuck with it for a long period of time. And then when MLS launched, he at one point owned three different teams.
Right.
One of the biggest, I guess, benefactors when you look at it in American soccer history, keeping it going. Lamar Hunt loved the game. His family still owns FC Dallas. So all that, you know, giving back to the game, that's why his name's on that trophy.
Great. Okay.
Interesting. I mean, it's sort of...
He's a pioneer to NFL.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
For Arthur Blank, right? I mean, because I think we give a lot of credit to what Atlanta United has done to actual real resources for an MLS squad, which a lot of them have not gotten. That's awesome. I knew that the trophy was named after the same guy. I did not know why the trophy was named after him. Now Atlanta United just have to win three more games and the trophy is theirs.
Absolutely. And you have a good draw too. The way the draw worked out, the trip to Columbus was, you know, a little tricky. Columbus on the road, and especially because it's gonna be pouring down rain every time Atlanta United plays in Columbus, it's pouring down rain now that we're talking about.
The sky just fell out.
Look at that.
The sky just fell out.
Perfect timing.
Good thing they got a big old hole dug in the middle of Peachtree.
That always helps.
Yeah.
But next round, you're playing the winner of tonight's match between St. Louis FC from the USL Championship and FC Cincinnati, who has been really poor since they got a result here in Atlanta early this season.
That's right. We do remember that.
Yeah.
That was one of those games where we're like, all right, if they don't do it this weekend, then we're going to be frustrated. Now, the good thing is that is in the past, it seems to be. Atlanta United has been playing. Yes, but they're playing really, really good soccer over the last 3 months. Still a week away from MLS resuming, but Barco was back. I guess Thursday, but played yesterday. So we look forward to seeing him back with the team when MLS resumes as well.
Yeah, I think the lineup you saw last night in Columbus could be the lineup you see in Toronto next Wednesday. The only question mark would be up top, is it Brandon Vasquez or Romario Williams? Because Joseph Martinez will be away with Venezuela. Brandon Vasquez has been lighting it up in the Open Cup right now. I think he gets that start. And then Julian Gressel's had some muscle tightness. Is he going to be ready to go next Wednesday, or does Justin Merrim get the start?
This Vasquez kid, I mean, is it just opportunity?
Yeah, it's opportunity. I mean, he was this guy in 2017 as well. And
right.
And
he's
the Open Cup
player.
Was what sparked him.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting under Tata Martino, he used him out wide as a right winger. Now we're seeing him play like he did with the U.S. Youth National Teams as a striker, as a number nine. And you see his size, but he's got quick feet for a big guy. He can play out wide and beat you on the dribble as he did on the second goal last night that he had. But he's also strong enough to play back to goal and hold the ball and bring others into the game.
Well, it seems like that's what he's better at. I mean, we saw him out wide when Tata was here sparingly. He didn't get a ton of time on the field, but it just seems like the role that they had him in last night is the one. And the other nice thing is, I know he had played in that role in some U.S. Open Cup games, but he played in that role last night with a really good lineup around him. He was playing with a talented group, and he thrived. I mean, it's nice to see guys get opportunities like that and really take advantage of them, which he did.
Yeah, that's the key, and Frank DeBoer's been really clear about this. Just rotating a full team just to do it, it puts the guys who are coming in a bad spot because they're not playing with the best players around them. And you play Vasquez in a situation with a first choice 11 around him, you get to see what he can do for you. And he's a guy who can go to Toronto and be a starter and get you goals.
It's a lot like the backup quarterback playing with the first team O-line. Somebody
right.
Similar to that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Jay, I think I saw it was either you or Conti. Somebody tweeted out talking about Joseph or it might have been Fricky. Anyways, saying that he was coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a permanent thing? Is he like not that dude over there?
They don't want to play two strikers. Okay. And they have Solomon Rondon, who's Miguel Almiron's teammate at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that Duda Bell, their manager, wants to go with. Last night against Brazil, I get it. You probably don't want to play two strikers against Brazil in a Copa America match. Joseph came on late. Venezuela actually got a historic draw. It's only the third time they've gotten a result against Brazil in their history. It's a massive point for them. They have a shot to go through the next round. But I think with those two players, those are two of your best players in your country, in this generation of players, you need to find a way to get them both on the field. Joseph in that system could play out wide. He could play as a second striker underneath Rondon, kind of in that number 10 role a little bit. You get him on the field because he's one of your best players.
Jason Longshore joining us here in studio, brought to you by Heineken 0.0, great taste, zero alcohol. Again, keep sending your AMA questions in. We'll get into the AMA coming up in about 15 minutes. Now, we understand the next game in the U.S. Open Cup will be played here. It'll be played in Kennesaw. It'll be played at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. And fans will be allowed to go to this one,
yes.
Which is really great. Do you think that the U.S. soccer, I guess, the folks that run the U.S. Open Cup, learned anything from the way that things went last week, sort of the debacle that was last week with Charleston and then ultimately playing here in front of no fans?
It's such a weird situation because when I was on with you guys last week, we didn't know what was going to happen with that game. And it wasn't until late right. in the day, about 5:30, that it was announced it would be behind closed doors at Kennesaw. The whole process from the field being unplayable referees are falling down on the field in warm-ups. That's an unplayable field.
Right.
You're not going to play and risk players on that. So to not have a backup plan in Charleston, I think, is the more surprising part about it. They didn't have a turf field on standby. They didn't have an option for a rainout date for the next day playing somewhere. And when you don't have that, you have to get this game played. We talked about it. It was down really to figuring out a way to play it, or it's going to be a forfeit. And I'm glad they got the game played. I'm glad it wasn't a situation where Atlanta advances without a game. But you really didn't have an option because you had no notice to get staff, to be staffed up, to be able to have fans in that game. So it is a lost opportunity. It's a weird feel. Atlanta got the job done in that one as well, and that's back-to-back Open Cup wins. On short rest, you turn around, you go to Columbus straight away after that game. It's Thursday, Tuesday. You know, that's not a ton of rest in between. You get the results and you advance. Atlanta's finding a way in Open Cup to get results that they weren't getting in previous years.
What's the main thing right now when you talk about the Open Cup, getting ready back for the MLS season to start back up again? What's the most important thing for this team outside of nobody getting injured?
That's it. Mm-hmm. It's that in depth right now.
Right.
Because you look ahead from June 26 when you get back into MLS play till July 26 when you go to play the best team in the league this season, LAFC, 9 matches. From June 26 to July 26. It's a really crowded schedule. You have an Open Cup quarterfinal now in the middle of that you're going to have to deal with. And you're playing some of the best teams in the league. In that stretch, you get a trip to Seattle. You have Houston come into town. You have the Red Bulls come into town. You go to LAFC to close it out. That will be the most challenging part of the season.
What was going on with the Crew fans last night? I see.
Ooh, in what way?
Well,
because there are a few things.
I guess at the end of the game, the things that were being thrown, the obscenities that were being hurled, not the greatest showing last night from the supporters of the Crew, I would say.
No, weather was bad, so there weren't very many of them there, and that's another talking point when it comes to Columbus. I hope that changes when they move into their new stadium in downtown Columbus that they're building. It's a couple years away. You know, you have new ownership now, but they didn't get the team until right at the beginning of the calendar year. So it was hard coming into the year with marketing and strategy and all of that.
But, I mean, Save the Crew was a really big thing.
Yeah,
and when
it
seemed like they were going away, people were showing up and were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now that they're not going away, that energy isn't the same.
And that's a shame.
It is a shame.
Because it should be the same. And Columbus should have a team in this league. And I think they'll be different in a couple of years. But you got to ride out these couple of years. Last night, frustrated about calls, and you're yelling and throwing things at the referees. Yelling at referees, fine. Everybody's
sure.
used to that. Throwing things at referees, completely unacceptable. And you're going to see fans probably get banned for that.
Whew.
We know that you know Atlanta United, they're taking this thing serious. This tournament really, really serious. But again, when they play these different teams, is there a level of, you know, because we're playing against an MLS team now, so our effort, we got to be right. But, you know, we're playing against Charleston. We you know, is there like that as far as the players in that kind of mentality?
Yeah, I mean, it creeps in. It's the same as an NCAA tournament game when, you know, you're a Power 5 team and you're in that 3-14 matchup and you're like, oh, well, we should be able to handle this team. And then they punch you in the mouth. And that's what happened against Charleston. They get the early goal, and then they're able to just sit back, and Atlanta has to break them down. Talent eventually broke through. It took 120 minutes to do it, but you did it. It's hard not to have that creep in. I think as an athlete, when you look at the schedule and you look at the competition being at a lower tier, it just gets into your head until you get punched in the mouth in a match.
Jason Longshore joining us here in studio again. Keep sending your AMA questions, soccer-related or other, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Jason, we were talking about this in the commercial break, about how the target of anger has sort of shifted from week to week, from month to month among Atlanta United fans. And it was Frank DeBoer early, obviously, for a lot of different reasons, and I think that's gone away now because the team's playing really well, and I think everyone's happy with it. Breck Shea has been the target of frustration at times. PT continues to anger folks here and there. Where would you say people are most frustrated right now, and also why? Because things are, I mean, they're 9-2 in all competitions over the last 11 matches.
Why? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Maybe why is just fans are mad at stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's really strange in this situation because you look at the numbers and you look at defending champions in Major League Soccer. First off, you've only ever had three teams defend their title. It's very difficult to come back on short rest because you have the shorter offseason to be ready to go. It's only happened three times. Atlanta has the best record as a defending champion since 2010. So when you look at what Seattle did and what Toronto did, it's really difficult. I don't know where the frustration's coming from at times. The Pity Martinez stuff really reminds me of Ezekiel Barco last year.
It kind of does.
It's almost the exact same narrative. And that's worked out pretty good, you know?
Correct. Yeah, it kind of does.
That's what's so funny about it is it's like we forget that this stuff happened. We're like goldfish as
sports without a doubt.
Like, it was a year ago when you were mad about the same thing at that guy, and now look at him. He's he's getting courted by clubs all across the world.
There's not a lot to complain about in the Atlanta United world
we'll
right now.
We'll find it. We'll find something
true.
To complain about.
It's true.
All right, Jason Longshore, we're going to hang out for another segment.
The peach kits.
I love those peach kits.
Oh, no. They got to go.
The King Peach?
Oh, they got to go.
They've grown on me.
I love them. What? Everybody does it? I'm the only one that likes them? Wow.
Just
anyway,
typical.
We'll come back. We'll come back and get to the AMA. Jason going to hang out for the AMA as well. Any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter at TBM929. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game.
All right. Any question, any topic, Jason Longshore in studio with us for the Wednesday AMA as well. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open 404-741-0929 on Twitter at TBM929. Randy McMichael. Looking like a square ball goober.
Yeah, man.
Up in the Kia studios
They're coming in to film a segment with us right now. And so they want me, because I'm wearing a white t-shirt, I guess the reflection or whatever. So they also made me wear this damn pink shirt, reddish pink shirt. So I'm like, hold on.
It's like a peach kit shirt.
Yeah, it don't match when I got on or nothing.
I know, because you got your whole outfit coordinated.
Yeah, you know how I am.
White shirt, blue shorts, nice blue and white Pumas.
Yeah, man.
With the white visor.
Don't call it no outfit, though.
What? What is it?
I'm a man. I don't wear damn outfits.
What is an outfit? It's what you're outfitted in.
No. That's what I'm wearing. Different.
Okay. What is it?
I got a t-shirt, shorts, and some sneakers on.
That's but a nice outfit.
Stop calling it a damn outfit, Andy.
This is amazing. Just keep going.
I just think you look nice. That's all.
That was so sweet.
Ranty Randy.
All these rules. All these weird rules I don't know about.
You'll get to know them.
I'll get to know him. Am I going to follow him?
No, of course not.
That.
Of course not.
Yeah. Anyway, Jason Longshore is here too. Also in a nice outfit. Always wearing his Kangol hat. Let's start with this one. Oh, What English Premier team, English Premier League team, do you support, Jason, and why?
Manchester United was the first one I saw. Mid-90s, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, the Nevilles, Paul Scholes,
Roy
one of my all-time
Keane.
Favorites. Roy Keane kicking everybody that
Badass
moves.
Badass Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, like, breaking people's kneecaps because they fouled him 2 years before.
Yep.
That was Roy Keane.
He was a vengeful dude.
He was. But that was the team that I got to see the most.
Me too.
So, I mean, that was at a time where you weren't getting Premier League games on 4 or 5 times a weekend. It was maybe one game, and it was probably on tape delay.
It was on tape delay, matter of fact, dude.
Oh, yeah. Never live. Only the Champions League final would be live.
ESPN started showing more Champions League games before Premier League games were common.
What was that show that used to be on Fox where they go through all the Premier League games and, like, boil them down into,
that was the best.
It was the best.
The guy who hosted it, Lionel Bienvenue.
That's right. That
was
his name.
He was amazing,
yes. That's amazing that you remember that. I love that show.
Yeah.
Because all the Premier League games, they'd boil it down to, like, an 8-minute recap.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see all the good stuff. And then Lionel Bienvenue would bring... Oh, man. That's, what a fun trip down memory lane. All right. Favorite dessert. This is for everyone.
I don't eat a lot of dessert, but if Big Mom, my mama's banana pudding and Big Mama's red cake. Red velvet cake.
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. Tres Leches cake.
Tres Leches.
Tres Leches is great.
I like bread pudding. Any kind of bread pudding.
With like underrated.
With like a bourbon sauce on it.
Never had it.
Oh, love bread pudding.
Highly underrated.
The thicker and the more dense. Like if you could use it as a brick to stop a flood, that's the type of bread pudding I like to eat. The scariest thing you've ever done?
I did the tandem jump. That's a horrifying.
Skydive?
Yeah, because.
Never.
While he's still on the plane, my feet are dangling over. So, yeah, the scariest thing ever in history.
I have nothing to even get near that one because there's no way I'm jumping out of a plane.
I don't even know, man.
Yeah, I don't have anything in that category.
Probably the scaredest I've been. I was pretty scared when I proposed last summer or 2 summers ago. But then she said yes, so we're good. It was kind of scary. I was like, what if she says no?
You knew she was going to say yes.
What if she would have said no?
Did you really think she was going to say no?
I'm pretty sure she was going to say yes. I mean, that's why I did it.
I remember that. I think I remember that.
Yeah, you
I think I remember that.
Probably do.
Yeah.
It was a big moment for you as well.
Oh, I mean.
Wendy remembers.
I forget. I'm missing something.
And Wendy remembers because I told her I was going to do it.
Yeah, and then I remember you telling it.
And then we told the story on the air.
That's right. That's what happened. Okay.
Is Andy's hair as bad as he was making it out to be this morning?
No, it's not bad. It's just you got to get used to it.
Yeah, it's different.
It's just different. Just like Brian with the butt face. I mean, as long as me and Brian have worked together. Me and Brian worked together a long, long time. I've never seen him without his beard or his glasses.
The funny thing about Brian is without the beard and without the glasses, he actually looks older than he did. Because usually when you shave, you got some scruff or a beard and you shave, you look younger.
Right.
Brian looks like a dad now. Like
he does.
He shaved and looks like a Little League dad.
And he's always a Little League with his nephew. So, hey, they're going to.
Make sure to hustle.
Make sure to
the
hustle
line,
there.
Alfreda dad.
He looks like Alfreda baseball dad. But it's like the hair's just short, and I look like I'm going in the Army now.
That's what you look like. Yeah. That's okay.
What was the thought process? What was the idea here?
It was hot out, and I was like, it's too hot. I'm going to cut this down a little bit. There we go. My wife, not a fan of it.
Oh.
Favorite cut of steak? I go with the fillet mignon. I like that one. That's pretty good.
Just give me a damn ribeye. I'm good.
Ribeye. That's what. What did we make the other night?
Give me a ribeye.
I don't remember.
Yeah, more kind of steak. The style. I like the churrasco steak. The Argentine style with the chimichurri. Have you ever had that?
Everything you say is in Spanish.
Yeah.
Tres leches, chimichurri.
Yeah, you're talking about the chimichurri steak. Okay.
Steaks.
Yeah, Jace. Yeah, you got to get all fancy with it. But no, I do.
It's not fancy.
What's the name? So who has that good one? We went somewhere a few years ago, had a real good one. Just, I don't eat churris, whatever sauce, unless it's on the steak.
Yeah.
And that steak specific. Other than that, I won't eat it.
Do you have hobbies? Do you have any hobbies, kids?
Do I have any hobbies?
That's an amazing question. Any hobbies?
That's like a pickup line, isn't it?
Yeah. So what are your hobbies?
What are your hobbies?
I need to get back out on the golf course.
Everybody has hobbies,
that is
right?
Something I definitely need to do. That
we played yesterday. You could play with us
we
next
need it fourth,
I
yeah.
need to get back out there. And
I was bored. I thought, did nobody want to ride in a golf cart with me?
Oh, man.
Well, you had all the beer with you.
Yeah, I did.
That would be the reason to ride in that cart.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I like to collect baseball cards. That's kind of a hobby. Yeah, I still do that.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I also build stuff. I like to build stuff. That's a hobby.
Yeah.
kind of hobbies you got, Randy?
I'm chilling. Yeah, chilling? I don't have any hobbies anymore.
Main hobby, chilling.
I just have a lot of hobbies. But now I just, you know. Oh, I'm a t-shirt collector.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm a t-shirt collector.
Legitimate t-shirt collector. Yes. Randy's got like 7,000 t-shirts. Speaking of the King Peach kits, do you think MLS would allow them to reverse the colors? Like the peach shirt, but then white letters.
Oh, that's even worse. That's even worse.
That sounds great.
I'm really curious.
That sounds like an awesome idea.
That sounds worse.
I want to see what they do with the third kit next year, because it's a two-year cycle. So this is year two of the King Peach.
They could camouflage
what's going to replace it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They could camouflage.
Real tree?
Yeah,
they could camouflage.
Appeal to the OTP crowd?
The goalkeeper kits this year are kind of camouflage.
Make the goalkeeper camouflage, then you wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah.
But you think Brad Guzan's good now? Wait till they can't see where he is. He's going to be stopping everything. If you were stranded in the wilderness with one person from 92.9 and a hungry grizzly bear was out after you, would you want Deshaun Tate or someone else to be running next to you?
That's messed up.
Oh, that's cold.
You don't got to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the person next to you.
That's all they want. And I know I'm faster than Deshaun, but Deshaun ain't got enough meat to fat.
Yeah, the grizzly bears, that's a snack.
They're not done. Yeah.
Chuckery lost weight. So I'm throwing Mike Bell. Mike Bell has a lot of belly flat. Belly fat.
That's a meal for the bear.
Yeah, that's a meal for the bear. So I know I get a day and a half rest while he's still chewing up Mike.
Yeah, I'm going with Jarvis because I know I'm faster than Jarvis, and Jarvis might actually beat the bear.
Jarvis might hurt that bear.
Yeah, the bear might lose. I'm going with Jarvis. All right, thanks, Jason.
Thanks, y'all.
We'll come back and tell you what we learned today. Hand off to Duke Sabel as well right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, final couple minutes for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m.
We'll be here.
Lots to talk about. Tomorrow's a big, big day, man. The NBA draft, the Hawks have 3 first-round draft picks.
Yes.
The Braves play the Mets tonight in the rubber match of the series.
You
got Max Fried on the mound with a chance to go 8-2 on the homestand. And we'll be getting, again, we'll be getting ready big time for the NBA draft tomorrow night. And then Friday we'll be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yes.
Saturday we'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
That is correct.
And Monday we'll be at the Emory practice facility for the Hawks, but tomorrow we'll be in studio.
Okay, well, I mean, but you forgot the most important thing. You, Conti, and our guy Deshaun, y'all will be down over at the State Farm Arena handling y'all business with our pre-draft show?
Like
or just draft
during show? Draft show.
During draft show.
We're on from 7 to 10, so the first hour will be pre-draft. Yes. Well, probably last year we got to talk to Killer Mike.
How about that?
Killer Mike came by and sat down.
Well, next time if he does that again, you make sure you tell him how you enjoyed your haircut at his barbershop.
I did get a nice haircut at his barbershop.
Yeah. She didn't like that either.
The swag shop. She didn't like that haircut either. She liked that haircut better than this haircut, though. She really doesn't like this haircut. You know what she did last night? She went out to dinner with some of her friends, and they came back, and I was sitting there on the couch watching the Braves game, and she just kind of looked at me. And you know when they look at you like just kind of
disgusted?
Not disgusted, but just unimpressed.
Yeah.
Just kind of. I was like, what? He was like, it's too short. Like, all right. Sorry. My bad. All right, let's get to the takeaway of the day. Brian Gebhardt's takeaway of the day is don't call it an outfit. Tell Randy you like his t-shirt, but don't tell him you like his outfit.
Please don't.
All right,
please
I won't tell you like right, it.
That's cool. And you talk about rules. It's not rules. Because you know I don't care if you say
so
it.
So many rules.
And I know you're going to say it anyways.
Well, now I want to say it more.
Yes, I know. That's why, you know.
Well, I can't wait till I can call it. I'm going to one day, oh, that's a cute outfit, Randy.
And then we'll have a real problem.
and it'll be on the radio. Wendy's takeaway of the day is that I'm her new relationship. I won't say advisor, but I'm just an ear. I'm an ear. Wendy can bounce things off me relationship wise because Randy's done with it.
Yeah, I'm done. But it's better for her too because y'all are more at the same age range.
Yeah, we are the same age.
Yeah, she's talking about you're a true friend. Okay, fine.
I'm a better friend than you.
Fine, Wendy. Y'all are close to age. Y'all know how y'all to deal with each other. See, I'm an old man, all right, that does things.
You're like 5 years older than us.
That does the courting thing. I do old school stuff. Like I said, she came in and said the boy done asked her out.
He asked her out again.
Over a damn text message. You can't call her like, hey, you want to go out again, Wendy? No, that's too much effort. You got to text her.
Did that bother you?
Then who cares? That's the most important
thing. She's
fine.
Thing. Yeah,
the most
fine.
Important thing. Okay, then. Okay, you know what's going to happen? Just what you just said. She just said she enjoyed it. You wait till next week. All right?
I'm going to learn the hard way.
You're going to learn the hard way with Big Wendy's boyfriend date confidant. You're going to learn, buddy. That's why it's on you and not me anymore.
Okay, what'd you learn today, Randy?
I learned that when there's a gas leak within 100 yards of where you're building that you work at, you should be worried.
Guess not.
Yeah, you should be worried that there's a hole in the middle of Peachtree.
Yeah, gas line break, no problem.
No problem.
I guess. They dug a hole. They filled the hole back up out there on Peachtree.
Yes.
So hopefully they'll get traffic going back up and down the street.
Yeah, I go that way home.
Yeah, well,
I go the long way.
Maybe not today. Might be smart to go around the block.
What's your takeaway, Andy?
You got to protect your cocaine better. If you're going to try to move 33,000 pounds of cocaine,
yeah,
or 15 kilos or however measurement you want to use, just don't get caught.
I think that's the most important thing.
What do you think they put just like blankets over it?
No. I've seen some videos where they've had, you know, when they're stashing the cocaine or whatever, and you know, I've seen it, and it's very very cool how they do it. Like I said, I was watching this new show, this El Chapo's Bodyguard show or whatever on Netflix.
I bet he was good at hiding
and
cocaine.
They hid the cocaine, Andy. They make like these statues that it looked like white statues. But it was made out of cocaine. Like the drug dealer got mad, like, what is this? And they put it in the water and it dissolved. So cool.
Wow.
You got some ideas? I know Hugh heard that because maybe he was talking about getting some bricks. we don't know how much you go for now, so.
Well,
just three.
It's one way to find out.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good place to end it. thanks for being with us. Just hide your cocaine
just
better.
Hide your cocaine.
Okay. Dukes and Bell coming up next. Dukes is out. John Chuckery is in.
Yeah.
The Georgia Rattlesnake.